So the difference is the story and the integrity and, as I say, the passion behind the story. And when you can bottle that, put it into a video, people read the blog, they see it in the social media, they see it in the faces of the workforce, of the pictures that we share. And then people said, that's a company I want to buy from.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, hi, and welcome back to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Today, I am super excited to have a friend of mine on as a guest. He's a friend of mine and a business associate that he just reminded me we met in 2004. His name is Jonathan Christian, and Jonathan is the founder of a company with a great name. It's called We Make Stuff Happen. He is an innovative Canadian-based digital marketing company and training agency, and they help businesses and not-for-profits around the world to tell their story online and on the ground. He's known by his team as the Chief Imagination Officer. He was born an enthusiastic and creative entrepreneur. His passion for social media began in 2008 after suffering a life-threatening neck injury resulting from a major car accident. On his road to recovery, he fully immersed himself into this world of social media and networking, content marketing, and emerged as an expert leveraging the online sphere to maximize his business. With a big picture approach to business development and brand storytelling, he and his team at We Make Stuff Happen have successfully trained over 600 businesses in the art of social media and content marketing. Jonathan leads a series of online educational programs, as well as he is a regular speaker both nationally and internationally on how businesses can maximize their impact and online presence through his social media VIP access, online boot camps, as well as his inner circle memberships and regular social media meetups. Jonathan is committed to empowering entrepreneurs, not-for-profits, and businesses on how they can successfully maneuver the ever-changing landscape of the social media space. He lives in Abbotsford, British Columbia in Canada with his wife, Debbie, and together they have three grown children. I'd like to welcome Jonathan Christian.
My goodness, Doug, thank you so much. 2004 to 2017 has just flown by, my friend.
And nothing's really changed online. It's all the same, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's still about people buy stuff and people that they know, like, and trust. It's just the tools. It's changed in many ways.
Well, it's funny. I was thinking of our interview and thinking of what works in social media and what doesn't. And I was hoping you could share with us and with our listeners, what major success have you had using a specific tactic moving forward for both your business and for your clients?
Well, the realization I had about 18 months ago was I ran out of hours. And there's only so much you can charge per hour in integrity. We're only really worth so much money. So I couldn't sell anymore, and I found that there was a lot more people needing my stuff than I had time in a day to help, which is a great problem to have, but it's also not a good problem to have because you don't want to say to people, I'm too busy for you. And at the same time, you don't want to just work with people who can pay the most because a lot of people need our stuff. So for me, it's leverage. And what I did about 18 months ago was I learned how to teach from a one-to-one to a one-to-many model. And over the last 18 months, I've created four different programs that we deliver online. So now I can help 10 businesses in the same time that I was helping one. And even though they're actually paying less to get a piece of me, I'm actually, as a company, much more profitable because we're leveraging that time. And what I love is it creates this group dynamic of what we call a mastermind. And suddenly the group's helping each other and they're learning from each other and it's not one-upmanship at all. It's very much peer pressure to really come up with something different. And it's been an amazing journey.
That's really cool. I mean, I know there's the discussion around people are typically afraid of speaking and presenting, and I've seen you speak and present. And one of the things that people will get if they have a chance to tune in and see what you do is that you come across very authentic. So what you see is what you get. You're very real, and you can tell you've got a big heart and you care for people.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I mean, it's, so I can imagine it's a little bit difficult going from one to one to one to many. However, I'm sure that your care for people still comes through, although they might not be sitting pressing the flesh with you.
Oh, absolutely. And in this virtual world that we live, of FaceTime on and WhatsApp and WeChat and Zoom and Skype and all these different apps that you can really engage with people and still see the whites of their eyes and gauge how they're feeling and motivate them, even though it's not quite as good as sort of sitting next to them. But that's the way of the world, and we can do it really well.
So thinking of your time leverage and going from a one-to-one to one-to-many situation using an online delivery method, what do you think the biggest myth is about this tactic that may prevent or hold people back from fully engaging with this?
Well, it's I think what it, for me, it's almost like the televangelist scenario. A lot of people think, oh, no, I don't want to listen to this guy. But not all televangelists, you know, are bad. By any stretch. And it's the same with online marketers. We've all seen this sort of spammy, I make $100,000 in my sleep and I'm driving this Lamborghini and there's all this girls at a pool and bling, and just think, if this is what online marketing looks like, I'm not interested. But the reality of it is people are just yearning, as you said very kindly about my presentation, they're just yearning for somebody who's authentic and cares. And as I say, a lot of people I speak to say, I could never do that. You know, I don't want to be known as like the used car salesman of online marketing. I went, you know, yes, there are people out there like that. But at the same time, the real stars shine through when you care enough and you go the extra mile and you authentically put your effort in. And I think that's the biggest myth that people need to get themselves over, is that there's a huge marketplace for real people.
Yeah, and I think what you've said there really talks to engagement. I just wrote an article I'm going to post up on LinkedIn in the next couple of days, and it said, you know, why social media isn't working for your business. And so what you mentioned about the evangelist type story, hey, I'm making $1 million a month, look at my Lamborghini. There's a lot of people who would just really like to be able to have enough money at the end of their month to pay their Visa for all the stuff they bought and forget the Lamborghini, just have a few extra groceries in the fridge.
Yes. Totally.
And I think the challenge I've seen in social media, and I'd be interested to hear what your feedback is, that people have engaged this thinking, hey, it's free at social media, and they use it like traditional media, and all they do is they puke out their message on everyone, mm-hmm. and there's really no engagement.
Nope, that is totally the way it is, and the engagement is the magic word.
Well, I've watched you with some of the companies, and do you want to share with us a little bit about your philosophy around helping companies to tell their story?
Absolutely. I mean, I just literally come in the door from a company that's established here out in the Fraser Valley. They've been in business for over 25 years. And when you listen to the owner who bought this shop back in Chilliwack, say 25 years ago, it was in bankruptcy. And they had the bailiff at the door, and they had to arrive each morning and unlock. They would get product made during the day, and at 4:30 they'd lock up, and they made enough money to pay off the debt of the business. And 25 years later, this is a multi-million dollar company, and he's not as involved with it as he used to be. But the passion of that gentleman, of why he started the business, the 200 or so employees that he has, that families get a paycheck every other week, is just remarkable. And I think, you know, sure, anybody else can make a commodity, but the difference is the story behind the why. And when you meet great entrepreneurs who, as I say, through adversity, just battled through and ended up creating an excellent product and have an amazing team around them, when people see that story and they get the vibe and they realize the passion that comes into building that business, that's the marketing crux that makes the difference. Because I say, nothing's really that unique these days. Sure, there'll always be another Facebook or another LinkedIn, but in terms of bricks and mortar commodities, it's probably already been invented for the most part. So the difference is the story and the integrity, and as I say, the passion behind the story. And when you can bottle that, put it into a video, people read the blog, they see it in the social media, they see it in the faces of the workforce, of the pictures that we share, and then people said, that's a company I want to buy from.
And so what do you think more businesses don't take that approach?
Well, there's this whole thing about privacy, and I get it a lot with executives of company, and it's like, I don't have a Facebook page, I have no interest in sharing what I do at a weekend, and I don't have time anyway. And it's like, dude, you're on it already. Whether you choose to be, someone's got a picture of you. And this is where your workforce is, this is where your customers are, depending on the platform. And if you're not there, in my mind, you don't care. So if you want to live in the 21st century, you have to market in the 21st century. And that means being much more available, much more authentic, being much more open, and be willing to engage with people through social channels. And when people get over themselves and do it, actually, it's not that hard. It's actually very enjoyable, passes the day a lot quicker, and it enriches relationships. And I think people just forget, you know, what marketing used to be like 20, 30 years ago, which was shake a handshake, you know, did a deal. With social media now, we've almost come full circle back to that handshake deal because we're getting so intimately close to people because we can watch the family and what's going on through their social. That we feel like we're the same visit to the doorstep now as we were 30, 40 years ago because of good social media, if you do it properly.
Sure, it totally makes sense. I mean, I think, you know, I heard a saying years ago, a friend of mine said that, you know, all the money that's in the world's already in the world, and it's either in the hands of good people or bad people. Mm-hmm. And so when I think of companies telling their story, I look at the people that I regularly do business with, and I'm more likely to shop and be a loyal customer to somebody who I know the backstory, I know their passion for the community, I know the charities that they support. And so I basically know their integrity and their value. Yeah. So at the end of the day, the brand that I buy is less important because, you know, it's brand X, brand Y. They both make coffee. This company cares for its people, cares for the farmers, cares for the community. So we shop there.
You got it. And I think more and more people are having that sort of geo-eco philosophy to doing business locally if they can, rather than big box, and supporting the guy who has the best story and the most integrity in his business. Yeah.
So looking at where you are today and your work in their foray into the online space in terms of teaching one to many, what are you most excited about today as it relates to marketing for your clients that you see over the next maybe 6 to 12 months?
Right on. So here's the thing. I just finished a class of 8 businesses for 4 months, and we've had a blast. And the tangible differences have been remarkable of what's changed. My goal is I don't want to do a class of 8 next time. I want to do a class of 80 or 100 or 150. I mean, I know friends of mine who are doing online classes in the thousands. And I'm not thinking that far ahead, but I'm definitely thinking into the triple digits. So what I've done traditionally is market through social media, but also with a personal approach by reaching out to people and really engaging them with my programs. And now, because of I've hit that critical mass and we've got so many success stories behind us now, is that I can go sell cold to people who have never heard of us before, but there's enough integrity and credibility behind our backstory of what we're doing for other businesses that they'll buy in without actually physically knowing me. And very excited to do that.
So, you know, if I'm a small business listening to the podcast, I'm thinking, hey, that's really cool. I have a Facebook page. I have a Twitter account. Maybe I have an Instagram account. I don't know if Twitter is still cool or not, but what would you suggest? Where did they get started? So right now they've probably got something happening, but I'm assuming that at least from what I've seen is they're really not organized. There's really no plan. They're just doing some stuff.
Well, the one thing is just to get out of that paralysis of doing nothing and just start sharing what each day looks like. Sometimes I start with motivational quotes in the morning that we create and we push them out. But what I find that the most attraction comes to the posts that we do are the ones that are super real. So a picture of me sort of engaging with somebody and just having some fun. We were playing with Snapchat filters in our office yesterday, and I was just doing a little happy dance at the end of the day. Somebody had this hot dog Snapchat filter literally mimicking my arm movements, and they shared it. I went, are you kidding? But you know what? That got great engagement because it's kind of fun and real. And I wouldn't say everybody wants to go on Snapchat and do filters, but just share something that's happening that's real. Because this whole Kardashian, you know, reality TV world that we live in, people either love it or hate it, but it is reality. People want to see behind the scenes. And what we think is mundane and everyday, other people will think is flipping cool. So whether you're a watchmaker or a carpenter or a market gardener or an internet marketer, there's stuff that you do that people would just love to get an inside view on. And having an Instagram story going through the day or a great Facebook video, even a short tweet. I'm not sure about Twitter these days. We don't use it a lot with our client marketing, but those behind the scenes pictures and videos and stories is really what people are hungry to get some authentic views into. And once you start doing that and you start to build engagement, it can work. But at the same time, what I say to people is don't wait for them to come to you, go find them. So a lot of people on their business page don't use it to actually then engage with other businesses. So on Facebook, it's not as easy as it used to be to go to your business page and then go to your wall and like businesses as your business. But the more you do that, the more your business is popping up in other people's feeds, and you're starting to get that awareness of who you are. So when people come up to look for you on Google and say, oh, I know that business. They may never have been on your website before or seen your truck go down the road, but just because of how often they see you on social, it creates an affinity, and that affinity often creates, you know, a comfort factor enough to do business with you.
Yeah, I agree. It's that, you know, there's opportunity to get in front of people. The old saying, I guess, in sales, I don't know what the new statistics are, is that it takes, you know, 7 to 9 touches to sell to a new prospect. And so my question typically to my clients would be, well, how long do you want those 7 to 9 touches to take? Mm-hmm. Do you really want to drive to their business, you know, every week for 7 to 9 weeks and do that? Or might you try leveraging email and direct mail and social and other ways to have those 7 to 9 touches happen over a shorter period of time?
Completely. And for instance, that client I was mentioning that I just came in from today, one of his sales managers came to a workshop that I did 3 years previously. And we made an approach to them. And I like to call myself persistent rather than pushy. And I have an email that goes out quite often. And I do my best to be consistent with my social media, not in a salesy way, but in a knowledgeable, pay it forward education way. 3 years later, I get a call from this company and say, we know we should have done it 3 years ago. But you know what? We've been following you ever since, and your stuff seems to work. We feel that we know you because you're constantly out there and we're reading the success stories that you've done. And if it's not too late, we'd like to engage you. 3 years. I mean, go figure. You never know who's watching you. So if you're not posting consistently, you're so missing out on all those seeds that could be germinating for when they do need your services, which may not be when you want to sell to them.
Now, how active are you, and do you recommend your clients be in terms of specifically targeting when they're building out their social media profiles? Like, I understand the filters and the searches and what you can do, but is that a part of your active strategy?
It is. I mean, it also depends on the target audience. So I like to call it an ideal client rather than the target market these days. But for me, most of my business now is coming out of the States, East to West Coast. So I have like a 3-hour time block, which is quite different, but it could be in a local area. And I'm finding now that the best times to be out there and engaging is that sort of 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. time, and also the 8:30 to 10 p.m. I mean, obviously, you want to be posting during the day as well, but that's when I'm finding I'm getting the most attraction, especially for the clients that we have as sort of done-for-you clients as well, is early morning, late at night, when people are out of the sphere of work, but you know they've got a phone in their hand with a cup of coffee in the morning or a tablet on their lap while Downton Abbey's on or Game of Thrones, because they're all Googling. And if you can get in that feed while they're in it, the eyeballs are in front of you, it's a great way of, I say invading their culture, but invading is a pretty aggressive word, but just, you know, go where the eyeballs are. And quite often it's those times a day, I'm finding 7 days a week, that you want to be posting. And there's scheduling tools, but nothing beats a real post, especially if it's a video and it's actually happening. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I've just finished up writing a book, and it's coming out. And one of the chapter titles, without giving away too many details, it's called Addiction Deficit Disorder. And one of the things I was looking for was how much time people actually spend on their phones. And it scared the heck out of me when I learned how addicted people are to their smartphones. Mm-hmm. How often they check them, they sleep with them under their pillows. It was frightening. I'm thinking, holy smokes, where's the world gone where the average person checks their phone more than 150 times a day?
Oh my goodness. And I could be that person.
I know I'm there, but But yeah, I mean, so there's the opportunity. I mean, the world has changed. The days of pushing media out, you know, first over, you know, in print and then radio and then TV. Now your consumer is carrying all those medias with them in their pocket. So they've got the digital, the audio and the video with them, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. A recent study said that when they took their phones away from students as a test, they experienced distress if they didn't have their phones for a 24-hour period. So we can't help people's use of their phones, but we know they have them, and we can certainly use that to communicate.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No. I've taken a couple of what I call digital sabbaticals, where I say to people, you know, my investment in my business is paramount. My investment in my marriage is even more so. And Debbie and I have gone out for either a date night or a long weekend, and the phone is only used for photographs. And I've said to people, I'm taking a sabbatical online, and I'll be back on Tuesday. And it's surprising how many people say, good for you. We live in this fear, like, if I'm not online, people won't buy from us. But people respect you for taking a stand. And but yeah, it is addictive. I know that.
Yeah, but that's just good business practice. I mean, you set your boundaries, and if you communicate that to your clients, I think they respect, you know, they might not agree with you, but they respect your decision. You know, you don't need to be grinding 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It doesn't make for a happy life or a happy wife.
I'm 100% with you on that one. And I know there's a certain friend of ours who markets every day to the world, and his whole hustle and grind, you know, I admire, but it's too much. And you have to find that balance.
Well, I'm not sure who you're referring to. I'm not going to ask you, but I was speaking to another guest on the podcast, and I believe we talked about the same individual who lives in New York, who shared with his wife before they got married that he was a workaholic, and that when they do have kids, there will be many times when he will not be at dance recitals because he will likely be on a plane going someplace else.
And that's a choice.
You know, yeah, absolutely. Not my choice.
Shed load of money and employing a lot of people and making a motivational difference in the world too, which is a good thing. But yeah, for me, that's over and beyond what I'm looking for.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So what advice would you give people that are listening that won't pull the trigger? And this, let me finish up by saying, you know, a lot of people come up with, and I say it's an excuse, well, I can't afford to hire somebody. I need to do everything myself. So I'll turn it over to you and let you respond.
You know, I have this philosophy, and I say to people, okay, there's an equation here. Do you have more time than money, or do you have more money than time? I said, if you have more time than money, then you're doing your own social media. And you should be anyway, because it shouldn't just be outsourced. But if you have more money than time, i.e. you can hire somebody to do something that you would do at a lower rate so you could concentrate on something more profitable, then bring someone in. And it's like whether you hire a bookkeeper or a cleaner for your home or a guy to do the yard. Yes, we can all do those jobs. But if you're cleaning your oven, you know, rather than having somebody else at $15 to clean it, is that best use of your time? Of course not. So why do people think when it comes to their marketing that they have to do it themselves and they can't afford it? It's one of those commodities that is a transferable skill. Once people get into your ethics and your authenticity, you can get a lot more done, and in an hour of congruence, just working with somebody and saying, this is what we need, this is where we're going this week. And then you go and do what you do best, which is closing deals or creating proposals, and just let stuff happen. And sometimes good enough is okay. It doesn't have to be. In fact, sometimes excellent is not good enough. Sometimes excellence puts people off. So that slightly not quite perfect photograph is more authentic, more real, and people will respect you for that.
Yeah, that's certainly been the transition in the video space in YouTube. When you look at the overproduced Hollywood style B-roll film that people are putting out there, you know, with all the lighting and makeup and hair, and you're going like, that's not real. That's a commercial.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And people see that for what it is.
So do you work in a hybrid fashion sometimes with clients that say, hey, I want to make sure I've still got some voice in the social media. After all, it's me or it's my brand.
Oh, absolutely. And I encourage that from the top down. And sometimes the very top CEOs of the companies that we work with do not want to be part of the strategy. And I just said, you know what? You lead. And whether it's your LinkedIn, I mean, look at Richard Branson. I mean, that guy just leads the Virgin Empire from the top down, and you can read about him. You'll see him on NECA. You'll see him kite surfing. You'll see him giving out money. You see him with his stance on, you know, equal opportunities and LGBTQT people within the organization. You know what he stands for, and you know the whole Virgin brand because of how he works. And that's what I have to encourage my staff to work for the clients that we work with. It's like, don't segment. Everybody needs to be a part of this story and part of this journey. And when they are, it just makes for a much more congruent picture. And it's a wonderful thing.
So from an organizational point of view, would you work with the client typically then to set up some sort of social media guidelines to make sure their team and their staff are following, you know, kind of best practices?
We absolutely do. And what we do is we have each of the different platforms, we come out with a little roadmap for them, and we'll give them ideal posts that could be done at certain times of the day. And we'll actually create a PDF binder kind of thing that they have with them, so they never have to worry about it. And I also teach them, I have this little one-handed 5 E's of social media that if anybody's not quite sure where they're at, I said, the number one thing you need to do is engage. The second thing is you need to entertain. You need to find stuff that people like. Third part is you need to educate people in what it is that you do and why they would buy from you in a non-salesy way. If you get those three pieces right, we then get to the fourth E, which is empowerment, which at that point is people saying, oh, I really like this company. I could use this stuff. And then the fifth E is excite. And that's where the credit card gets processed or the check gets written. And those five simple E's of social media is what we teach. And then we translate that into a much more detailed plan per platform. And then I monitor it. I set people up on my notifications. And when we're working with them, or even when we stop, I still keep checking in to see if they're consistent, that they don't forget Google Plus, or they don't forget they use the hashtags on Instagram. And they'll just get a quick check for me and say, hey, by the way, don't forget. And so, oh, yeah, thanks for that. Because it takes a long time for it to be habit forming. And sometimes I find that people haven't done it consistently, they get embarrassed and they think, oh, I haven't posted. People will notice. I just won't post at all. And it's like, nope, nobody's probably noticed. Just jump back in.
If we think people notice we stop posting, we're not up to date.
But it happens. So I've heard it many times. Yeah.
Now, in terms of mix, I mean, I heard you say something that I totally agree with, and that is really to add value to people. What sort of mix would you give out as advice to our listeners for how much good content, so educational versus sales?
Well, you know, we all know how strong the 80-20 rule is, and I'm not averse to, you know, continuing that. So for every 10 posts, one or two would for our clients or for mine would be around what we do and how people could work with us. The rest is educational and fun. So those three E's of engagement, entertainment, and education, yep. That's the three pieces. And the empowering piece, you know, follows on from that. So the 80-20 rules work for many, many decades, and I think it totally translates itself into social too.
Well, that's super cool. I think it translates itself into most media. I mean, I'm a subscriber to an enormous number of email lists, being that's where most of my experience is. And you quickly figure out who's who in the zoo. And, you know, 10 out of 10 messages are, hey, buy my stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, when's the last time you added any value to my life without just asking me for my credit card? And those are people I just won't do business with. It's like, you clearly don't understand that this is a two-way relationship. It's not just one way.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule, and I want to thank you for coming on. I got a couple of questions for you here before I let you go.
Sure thing.
And second to last question would be, who's one guest you think I absolutely have to have on my podcast?
Do you know, my hero in the social media world is a fellow called Marcus Sheridan. He has a company called The Sales Lion. And if you know his story, back in 2008, he had a swimming pool company in Virginia in the United States. Everybody was telling them they had to go bankrupt. There was no way out. And he just refused. He had 5 children. He just said, I am not declaring bankruptcy. And he put his very last money into some social media marketing with a company called HubSpot. And he is now probably, well, his swimming pool company is by far the best company in North America. But his passion for social media and telling stories through blog and video is beyond excellent. And I've been to his workshops. I'd call him a personal friend these days. And if you can get in touch with Marcus Sheridan at The Sales Lion, he would add enormous value to your audience. I know it.
Well, excellent. And now, hey, what's the best way for people to find you, get a hold of you, and get into one of your seminars or courses?
Hey, thanks for that. Well, our website, as you mentioned, is wemakestuffhappen.com. I'm a big believer in hashtags these days, and my hashtag that follows me around is hashtag, or the pound sign, make stuff happen, all one word. And I often say to people, you know, just check the hashtag out. You'll find me by reverse engineering. So either wemakestuffhappen.com on the web or hashtag make stuff happen on social, and you'll find me.
Excellent. Well, I've known, as I said, Jonathan Christian for a long time. I've watched his business grow and evolve. I've had the privilege of sitting in and listening to him speak and developing a friendship with him and his wife and getting to know their kids. I would highly recommend that you check out Jonathan's website. I'd encourage you to get out, get into an audience where he's speaking, or check out his online courses. And until we talk to you next time, thanks so much for tuning in. Check the show notes. We'll have all of Jonathan's details, links to his website, his upcoming courses available for you there. So thanks so much.
Thanks, Doug.
And yeah, and it's great to catch up.
You bet, you, my friend. That was awesome.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time. We look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.